Sure.
Are you looking at any different line of paper, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let me see. So let's try the easy part.
Okay. So what we did was, what we were trying to do is to match, or to, you know, to have a link between the experiments, right,
mm-hmm.
and these diagrams that explain how each operation is done inside UCC.
Mm-hmm.
So of course we start by the easy part. So what we did is basically we walk through the diagram and try to identify what parameters we need, right,
mm-hmm.
to be able to implement this, and how we can find these values by either using some experiments that are now done or probably doing additional experiments.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
Okay. So I think we start with this diagram. So the first thing we discuss is that so the first thing we need to know is that if the device has a read cache or not. We said that can be easily determined using the one of experiments you already have, but dev overhead is one of those. if we see that both in the dev overhead, we see that both
so
requests the same.
That takes over, I
right? Then I guess this is part of the logic. It's not something that we can determine,
mm-hmm.
and this, I guess, read R from cache. It means is that what value or what is the latency to do this operation,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's something that we can get from device overhead as well.
Mm-hmm.
What else? The device has prefetching or not. We can determine that by using the experiments that the Sigmatics paper has, where they compare random reads with the sequential reads, and if there is a significant difference in between them, then
hello. Hi, Jason. Yes, we do. So whenever you have time, come over. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think in terms of doing the experiments from previous papers, we probably don't need to do these experiments. We can just say that, I mean, we don't need to show the results of these experiments. We just say we did the same experiments and we found the following results for these devices.
I see. Actually, we don't need to describe the experiments at all.
No.
Or at a very high level, maybe, just to give an idea. I mean, doing the proper reference to
right.
the other related work.
Yeah, precisely. Okay.
Right. So I guess after we, you know, find the results for each of these points, actually, I think for the rest of the actions, we didn't find anything we need. It was rather logic.
Mm-hmm.
So after we find, for instance, in the case of one, we find all the numbers for each of these values, then we can, for each device, we can give an instance of this particular diagram, right? So we say okay, now we don't need to take a decision, but we know that, for instance, it doesn't have a cache, so now instead of, you know, we just give this path, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if we want to have one instance of this diagram per device, because it will occupy a lot of space, right? And this diagram is generic enough that it accommodates all these different types of devices. And all we need to say is that, okay, this device has this specific instance of one of those parameters, and or specific instance for each parameter, and that will, you know, the reader can determine for himself what to do and how to process this.
Right. Exactly.
I think, yeah, so we agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what about the waiting times and garbage collection times and things like that?
Actually, we didn't discuss that part because we weren't going in order. I guess, I don't know if you remember, we discussed something about that.
Mm-hmm. We were discussing about the mapping. Somewhat, I think we got to the conclusion that we may be able to figure out what kind of mapping is going on,
mm-hmm.
Or at least with certain, I mean, with a certain, to some extent, to say that this is block or this is. I think the three types of mapping,
right.
The block, page, or the hybrid mapping, by looking at the latencies and by using the results of the experiment. I think that was as far as we got for the garbage collector.
Right.
We didn't really get to that point of discussing the internal operations of the garbage collection.
Mm-hmm.
But we are, I think the, you probably already discussed this, but I mean the general approach we're taking is we're trying to build this bridge, right, between this set of hypotheses that Lewis is making from the experiment, and then the model or this type of flowchart model for the wink and write, and
mm-hmm.
that bridge is basically composed of the discovery of certain features based motivated by the hypothesis, by some of the hypotheses that are confirmed. We identify those features, and in a way we are able to say, for one particular device, this is the instance based on this class of, you know, this model. Like you said, we can probably show for just one device or one generic class of device. And in the end, we want to reproduce some of the experiments, the results, I mean the curves, for example, the throughput, or could be the response time, based on this model, which would somewhat validate this type of interaction that we show in the flowchart.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the general approach we are taking, and we discussed, I mean, kind of what would be the contribution of the paper, right? And I think we had like an extended discussion as to what we should put in the paper so that it looks that we're doing something else that differentiates us from the existing work.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as discuss a little bit about this recent related work that you sent as a pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Not in detail because we haven't read the paper, but I mean, we have an idea of what they are doing.
Mm-hmm. So, just to get something clarified, the hypothesis motivates the model,
mm-hmm.
right? So, instead of using the hypothesis experiments to extract the parameters of the model, we are using the hypothesis experiment to motivate the model itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just to be clear on that.
Right.
So the way you were describing earlier, it seemed like you are trying to extract the parameters of the model.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to view it differently. Maybe you need to do exactly the same thing, but it's just a way of presenting.
Okay.
Right. Does that difference make sense to you?
Yeah.
For the writing, I think it makes total sense to put in that way. We start with hypothesis, and then we motivate on top of that with this model.
Mm-hmm.
But then how are we going to motivate because if we motivate with a hypothesis, then we need to, we have these diagrams, right? And we need to say how we obtain this diagram based on the hypothesis, right? So I don't see that how that could happen.
Well, we should do it incrementally. I mean, after a certain number of hypotheses and some of the results, we propose something that may not be the complete diagram, or maybe it's going to be like we are. If we show the diagram in its entirety, maybe that we're just making magic and we're showing just a full-fledged diagram, but maybe we can just show part of the diagram, maybe the high level, and then we, with more hypotheses, we show more details about the specific functions or some things that are non-trivial.
Okay. Because it seems to me like we construct these diagrams based on some information that we read before from papers, probably other sources. So it's not exactly the way we did it, right? There is some hypotheses and...
It's not perhaps 100% the way we did it,
okay.
But definitely, I mean, in doing these diagrams, we use all the knowledge we know, we have at our disposal, which includes the experiments, the papers, technical spreadsheets, and I think it's a compilation of all those things.
Yeah, I'm saying this is because we also need to reference external sources. Part of the thing that
it's not easy to make that connection, right? To motivate using the hypothesis. Maybe some parts of the diagram or some parts of the model are motivated using specific answers to our hypothesis statement, and maybe others are accepted knowledge, and we point to those. Because if we just come up with another model, then just like that, and then we need to go through a really intensive validation of the model, right? We explore all different paths and all different possibilities. That would be a slightly different paper than what we have right now, or what we are planning right now. We could change our direction perhaps depending on how the validation of the model goes. Okay.
Okay. So let me see. Well, we also discussed about I guess we can go into the details at the time. So then after we finished this, we went to read from FlashPath, right? Which is basically
the current thing.
Yeah. So we found couple of things here. So the first thing is that is there any operation in progress? There are two ways. There are only two ways where you can have another operation in progress, which is, or you either have NCQ or you have hybrid mapping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you need cleaning. I don't know if the page mapping could have a
garbage
connection. Yeah, but the garbage connections could have. Yeah, you could have. So, well, I guess then. Right. So it could have NCQ, hybrid mapping, or page mapping. Then you could have background operations. Right. So that's something we.
I think it's important to write these things down if you don't have it already on paper.
Yeah, you have it in paper, so
okay.
I have it here too. Right after that. Okay, so after that we discuss about the is our two planes aligned. I did that an ASCII file that I forgot to send. Anyway, I forgot to to upload it to the SDN. Okay. Yeah. So we think that here the connection to the Stripe site in the is too plain a line. So I think something that we said is that, or I was saying is that instead of being too to have such a detail, like if it's aligned two planes or not, probably having something related to the Stripe size is better, in the sense that knowing the Stripe size, probably we can know how much parallelism is happening in the device, which is, I think, what we want to do here, right?
But knowing the stripe size does not tell you whether it's aligned to the stripe. You need the offset of the request and some additional piece of information.
Right, but I mean the offset you have as part of the request, right?
Okay, so you're assuming you have that already.
Yeah, because you have all the information from the request.
Right, so in the end you come up with the answer to the same question, that it is aligned to the, is it aligned to the stripe size?
Yeah.
Yep. One thing we realized, I'm sorry, this is by looking at the graphs, we were looking first at the throughput graph of the reads experiment, where you have reads of different request sizes, which are, I mean, of various sizes, and then we have this sawtooth shape of the curve, which happens at the stripe size, at multiples of the stripe size. And then we look at the response time curve, and that happens to be a linear function, basically. So in this diagram, when we get to the point where we need to read the data from the medium, it's only a matter of figuring out the parameters of that line to know exactly the time it's going to take, and that depends on the specific device. Right? But it seems to be
a linear. It's a sawtooth pattern, right?
That's for the throughput. Because what happens, I mean, what we imagine is happening is that you only send one stripe, that's the entire thing that you can parallelize at a certain point. And then, let's say your request is just a little bit more, that tail of the request has to go on a second cycle. So that's gonna generate this drop.
Yeah.
In your throughput.
Sure.
You wait for a little bit and then you complete this, the rest of the request.
Okay.
So in terms of delay, it would be a step function.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, so that is. And that seems to be independent of the where the offset is, I think, because the experiment just. Sent requests to a random request per se of different sizes, so let's say 4 megabytes, and then it's not necessarily aligned to any plane or any block.
What you mean? So it doesn't have to be. It just depends on the size of the request.
Right. Right.
And the stripe size.
Right.
Okay.
And
okay, so what we were discussing earlier, we don't really need the offset in that case.
Maybe, yeah, that's what will depend on the offset. It just depends
on the stripe size.
On the stripe size.
And the size of the request.
Which is somewhat expected, right, if we think of this device as being similar to the rate array.
Mm-hmm.
Start somewhere, and then as long as we can parallelize, it's going to be the same.
Makes sense, yeah. Okay,
and that's where.
So the word aligned, it does not really matter, or it may actually mislead me, just like it was misleading me a few moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so actually, I guess here, then the condition is something like or can R be read in parallel or something like that, right?
Or maybe we can just eliminate that condition altogether, because we have the request size, and we know the function that models the throughput and the response time. So we just read from the medium.
So you said that we should have here, instead of all this, we should have a function call that we solve all those issues.
Right, that calculates the response time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because here there is something important as well, that is a linear function we talk about,
mm-hmm.
Of the response time.
So we can refine this diagram to make it simpler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Based on
it's
our
kind of
okay.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what I remember we discussed. So, yeah, unfortunately, I forgot the ASCII final.
Yeah, I think we also talked about another experiment, a new experiment, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I have some notes here. So, one experiment I have here is that to determine the size of the read cache. So what I was saying is to start with a big request, read request. Let's say 32 megabytes, which is the maximum size of your PRETA protocol. And then
Before you go in there,
sure,
interrupt. Why do you need the cache size? Because that seems to me that exactly what we were trying to avoid, that's trying to profile.
Yeah, I don't know. At some point when we were discussing here if to know if we have a cache or not.
Cache hit.
Not a cache hit, but just knowing if we have
the
a read cache in there should be or not.
To implement the cache.
Right.
Okay.
So just
yeah, and the byproduct was to figure out the size as well.
Right.
So that's the experiment.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think probably actually the size of the cache is something we need, right, for the experiment and for the model as well.
Well, that's model parameter,
mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the thing that we have to sort of set the tone,
right,
in terms of what exactly are we going to have a model. And they're actually going to sort of get all the wrinkles straightened out by, you know, find all the parameters from models so that we can reproduce the experiment, the results. Or it's just a matter of having a model, sort of more of a sort of high level conceptual abstract model.
Right.
Say there are, you know, I don't know where to draw the line, however, but it takes some thinking. Right.
Right. Okay. Right. So, well, anyway, so the idea is that after you have this big read request, you basically will flood all the read cache, and you will have some data to read from that. Okay, right. So just start shrinking that request size, and at some point you will have really low latency because you're just hitting the cache. Right? You're not reading from the cell. And after you have that situation, then you know the size of the cache will be the same as the request size. Right?
We don't know that. We need to verify that it works.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the results here.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot actually.
But it seems reasonable.
Yeah.
So the existence of a cache is very easy, right? I mean, just to test whether there is a cache or not. That's very easy.
Yeah. Actually,
you read in one location, right?
Exactly. So that's one way. But the problem with that is that we only know if we have a cache or not. But we don't know the size, which is also a parameter of the
and the size is not just one parameter. There are other parameters like the emission policy and those are parameters.
That's true.
Too.
That's true. Yeah.
And so the question is to what extent do we want to find out
right.
the parameters, right?
I think we discussed that in the past and we said it's gonna be perhaps extremely hard to figure out the policy. That it's managing the cache, right? But we can assume something like LRU, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
to simplify. We have a box in the diagram that says, is the read, was the request cached?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to model that
yeah.
decision points from
yeah.
one,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
When there's a catch. So LRU could be a possibility.
Yeah.
Or maybe we can do something else. But to extract exact policy, maybe it's going to be hard.
Yeah. I mean, even for disk profiling work that people have been doing for a long time, they haven't really managed to confidently extract these detailed cache management policies, replacement policies. And I think that it's going to be the same issue, it's sort of the same problem here as well. Extracting that policy is like reverse engineering an algorithm
mm-hmm.
without knowing, okay, how it is implemented. If you know how it is implemented or different types of implementations, then maybe you can create a sequence of access patterns that will tell you, okay, it is this or this. But if you don't know how it is implemented, then I don't think it's even possible.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah. So because of the combination, I mean, there's just too many, you know, anybody can come up with a new policy. If you could only have, you know, a choice of four types of cache eviction,
exactly.
that you can actually find
otherwise
out.
You can
otherwise, it's just, you know, the infinite space.
Exactly. Okay, so, should we talk about, continue this, or do you want to do another of your sessions, and then we could talk about this later on?
Yeah, actually, I don't remember what else we did. So I need to upload the ASCII file we wrote, and then we can.
He's here all the time. Every time.
Yeah, he's probably coming in this month. He's paying me a visit before he goes to the
It's okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. So you have some write up.
Yes, I have the write up. I forgot to bring it or upload it to the SVN server.
But is there anything else other than what you talked about?
No, it's not. I don't think there's much more than that.
Okay, so in that case, maybe what you can do is continue to build on that write-up. Maybe you and Ariel can have another meeting to talk more about trying to identify other hypotheses that can motivate some other aspects of the model. I know that last time we had some feedback on the models that you had. I don't know if you got a chance to revise them based on the feedback.
No,
okay,
but that's the right.
But you do have the feedback.
Right.
Okay, so
I have the diagram annotated.
Okay.
That I have to do.
Can I make another suggestion? Since I don't think this is actually going to come along with the fast, right? It's just almost impossible at this point. And that means that there's another gap in between whatever we're going to do. We're going to fill it up. And so what I would suggest is actually to actually look at the model a little bit more in terms of the execution part of the model,
mm-hmm.
and see whether we can actually do some, because we are not really shooting for the deadline at this point,
mm-hmm.
right? The next deadline somewhere, but I gotta think about what we're gonna submit that to. And in the same time, maybe we should look at the model a little bit more. And because this is always going to come up. If you put that there, people say, you did some preliminary analysis of the model. It seems to be, it works this way, but what's the point? I mean, is there anything else you can validate the model, or the other way around, use the model to do anything that actually be able to predict? That's a totally different story. However, that question, whether we're going to pursue it to the, full extent or not, the question is there. It's always going to be, it's like, have to pull all these things together to some extent. So I would suggest that maybe we should actually start to, put some effort there and trying to see whether we can come up, that actually come back to the simulation, all the existing simulators, what they do and how good they have done it. And to what extent we can do a little bit further in terms of maybe changing the modeling level of detail and to get what we need so that it actually can be supported by all the profiling results.
Okay.
and probably maybe want to do that a little bit more systematically. And since we are not sure if the next week got time for that.
One possibility is that we extend on an existing model, such as the disk sim model. The question is, do we need that kind of, the kind of maybe detail that they implement? Maybe, first of all, I don't even know what kind of detail they implement, but I know that, for instance, the disk sim version of the SSD model utilizes a lot of the basic capabilities of disk sim, for instance, communication with the controller, implementation of the serial ATA controller or any other form of controller, and those implementation of the bus transport mechanisms and that kind of details are being used by the SSD simulator. Now, if we so the question is, if we want to build a simulator for the SSD, then it seems to make sense to use some existing capabilities if we want to go into the same level of detail, such as what the disk sim simulator provides. On the other hand, if you want more sort of high level simplified model, then maybe we don't really need to. We can do our own, you know, fully customized implementation of the simulator.
So I presume later on we'll probably have some kind of high level model. Yeah, because what are we gonna do later on is to have a model that's simple and intuitive enough and have all these functional blocks which we actually use some kind of simplified equations to deal with that. In the end it has to be supported by the measurement results. And those measurement results can only happen at this sort of the surface level, right? We only can look at throughput or delays and, you know, C to D, whatever the delays. And that's the only thing we can observe. We can't really get it down there and tap a particular wire and see how much delay it hits at least, you know, each individual point. So to some extent, I would imagine it would be something very sort of a raw level. Something really, you know, similar to that. And not to get too much detail or tangled because we can't validate it. Get to a further level, the only we can do is say, look at the total throughput like this. And even if you observe the throughput, that does not, you know, sort of 100% verify that, you know, that's exactly what happened. It's just maybe there's an instance that's what happened. You can't really say what the internal operation of that device, right?
Yeah.
To some extent, probably we have to stop at a certain level where we can measure, whatever we can measure, and using all these sort of creative experiments and trying to sort of poke at these things here and there, but there are only certain metrics we will be able to obtain. And we can only use those metrics to really validate the model. The model itself can actually get too much.
So I agree with Jason that we need to have an implementation of some simulator based on our model so we can start some validation experiments. Because at this point, I mean, if we the core contribution of this work would be that model itself, right? And I don't really see I remember having a discussion with Lewis about the contributions. So do you have that somewhere written down, the list of contributions that we came up with?
No.
Okay, so maybe you
will, we have the recording.
Yeah, so if you can listen to the recording and, you know, just review the contributions and put it down on paper, I mean, as part of the introduction of the paper, I think that will be very useful for us to keep reminding us ourselves of what the contributions are.
Okay.
Because I remember that we came up with a list of three different contributions, which all seem reasonable. But I thought that the core contribution was the model. So apart from the ASCII file which you're going to upload, maybe you can upload that list of contributions also whenever you get a chance. But given that the model is the core contribution, validating it is also going to be critical for the success of this paper, right?
So I have a general question in terms of the validation itself. The simulators that we have available, perhaps this theme and perhaps others, are based on some model of the SSD as well, and that model is perhaps available for us to take a look and to somehow compare it to what we are proposing over here, right?
So you're right in the sense that they're based on some model, but it is not clear if those models are concrete or if they could be simulators are built, you know, in an ad hoc way without actually first creating a formal model of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we can reverse engineer the model perhaps, but that's a very arduous task.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, so the point was, if we try to validate what we are proposing here by using a simulator that's based on some X model, then we expect to reproduce the result that we see in the hypothesis experimentation.
I think if you look at that way, if you look at, you know, this is actually obviously as the sort of the control logic of what's happening when you issue a IO request to SSD, right? So you say, here's a functional block that will deal with cache. Here's a functional block that deal with garbage collection or whatever. So here are all the things that the model actually pull together. And the natural question is, anybody can actually pull up something and say, this is actually should be what makes sense that it should have totally different strategy. So the question boils down to, you know, how do you say that at a very high level, this is actually what SSD is doing, right? So to some extent, that bears the highest burden. Now, if you put something out there like this, you can say, give me the evidence. You can't just say, this is the one way of, you know, that curve should look like that. Yeah, but, you know, that's many other things that could actually have the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To some extent, there has to be, you know, you probably won't be able to get 100% of all the answers, but at least it will have some kind of intuitive sense and say this is the right direction of inquiry of looking at the device function, device logic, that's how it actually operated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's you know, maybe we're never actually going to use the disk sim level with all the controllers and everything. And because of the problem we're facing, we won't be able to look in there. And so whatever we use in there only has the complexity of whatever we deal with. And we have absolutely no confidence whether this is actually being used there or not. So I guess in the end, it has to be a very aggregate level. But that's, you know, aside from the model parameters, if we can identify some major parameters and be able to say, you know, if we use this is one of the solutions we think that's pretty much right. There is a stripe, there is, you know, how the disk is function, and we have these very few parameters with basically a parametric way of looking at the model, and this is how actual performance is being extracted from that model.
Yeah, so I think this is Ariel's
okay.
Write-up on the model parameters.
Oh, okay. So
there is a detailed list of these parameters, and I think there are some references also to your figures, the various flowcharts that you
mm-hmm.
came up with.
That's good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think what we should probably start doing is to aggregate all of this material, this one, that one, the document that Lewis is working on, the contributions, all into a single document.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that there is one document that contains all our current knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think if we start by finalizing these parameters, I think they are, you know, we already had a discussion on this and you've done a revision, so I think it's very close to final.
This is the revised version. Maybe.
That is also very close to final, I think. So they are ready to be added to the paper. And we just need to make sure that this and this are actually correlated, right, in as many possible dimensions as we can imagine. And then also we need to start documenting those, you know, the process that you are going through, that what hypothesis motivate which aspect of the model. I mean, just as bullets, and then we can, you know, look at the bullets and see if we can construct some logical story that will allow us to better use our hypothesis to motivate, you know, the model that we are creating. So let's go for this, and once we have finalized this as well as this in the paper, then the next step would be to start working on some initial implementation of the simulator.
Before we get to that, we probably need to know what our existing simulators are doing. So that's just sort of going back to our previous discussion that, you know, there are several simulators there at different levels on what they do. And probably whatever we get actually going in that direction, that's the first thing. We have to finish.
Okay, so let's try to get this material all integrated in the paper.
This ASCII file, in fact, part of what it contains is what you just described, and then this integration of the graph, or the diagrams and the hypothesis. I remember we have at least two sections.
Yeah.
One is for the reads, and we have the list of hypotheses and
mm-hmm.
possible new experiments we can run to identify some of the components.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going into that direction, and probably we can formalize that more in, like, in terms of a paper or different
mm-hmm.
sections or subsections.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
So I guess we should have like a couple of meetings offline and
mm-hmm.
individually, and then before we present something for our next meeting.
Okay, yeah, that would be good.
And we also discussed that, Luis has someone work for FAST that he's doing. So he told me that he's going to be kind of busy before the deadline,
mm-hmm.
of course, and if I wanted to take over the experimentation part and keep on running some things on my own, my response to that was that I'm also doing some other work, and
mm-hmm.
I would agree to put this kind of in the fringe for some
mm-hmm.
time for the experimentation part, and we can probably reduce the number of meetings,
mm-hmm.
because I understand that you are busy with other projects, and then after the deadline we just continue with more frequency.
We could continue with our regular meetings anyway,
mm-hmm.
just so that we have a, you know, weekly update
mm-hmm.
on and make sure that we are all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
We have
one. I think we are done.
Alright. Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.